All right. Praise the Lord. Good to be here. Good to see y'all here this evening. Welcome those of us online, too. If you would, stand if you can. We're going to start out by singing Majesty. Y'all can think of a pick of him if you want. Majesty, worship his majesty, unto Jesus be all glory, honor, and praise. Majesty, kingdom, authority, flow from his throne. His majesty, unto Jesus be all glory, honor, and praise. Majesty, kingdom, authority, flow from his throne unto his own, his anthem raise. Jesus, magnify, come glorify, Christ Jesus the King. Majesty, worship his majesty, Jesus who died, now glorified, King of all kings. Jesus who died, now glorified, King of all kings. Amen.
Fear is gone
just because he lives, because he lives. Amen.
King. Hallelujah, hallelujah, we're going to see the King. No more crying there, we are going to see the King. No more crying there, we are going to see the King. No more crying there, we are going to see the King. Hallelujah, hallelujah, we're going to see the King. No more dying there, we are going to see the King. No more dying there, we are going to see the King. No more dying there, we are going to see the King. Hallelujah, hallelujah, we're going to see the King.
Amen. Anybody got a pick of him this evening? A tune you've been thinking of or a lyric you're thinking of? 505? All righty. All right, he touched me on 505.
Shackled by a heavy burden, 'neath a load of guilt and shame, Then the hand of Jesus touched me, and now I am no longer the same. He touched me, oh, he touched me, and oh, the joy that floods my soul. Something happened, and now I know he touched me and made me whole. Since I met this blessed Savior, since he cleansed and made me whole, I will never cease to praise him. I'll shout it while eternity rolls. He touched me, oh, he touched me, and oh, the joy that floods my soul. Something happened, and now I know he touched me and made me whole.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Anybody else? No? Just one this evening? Going once, going twice? Anybody? No? Praise the Lord.
Well, good to see you tonight, those of you with us online, and we've got a visitor here with us, so we're good to have visitors, amen? All right, very good, very good. Do we have any praises tonight, any praises? Yes, sir, in the back. Bobby Coons with a praise, what's up? What's up, Bobby?
Yeah, I've got a praise. We had a little dinner party for Mom last night. Went to your spot, Craft Grill.
Yeah.
And
didn't want to go to Craft Barrel. You went to Cracker Barrel.
Craft Grill.
Craft Grill. You did go.
Yes, Craft Grill.
Did you like it?
Oh, yeah, I loved
it. Yeah, that's a good place.
I had the sirloin, which was awesome.
Yeah.
But Mom's not feeling good, so she stayed home tonight. So
okay.
We need to pray for her when time comes. But we had 21 family members there last night, so that was a blessing. We had a few didn't get to show up, but maybe next time.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was a real blessing.
Birthday dinner. Amen. Get better soon. And the praise was birthday dinner. B-Day dinner. All right, all right. Any other praises tonight? Yes, Tiffany. Oh, yeah. Yeah, Miss Marjorie's got a birthday on Friday.
Marjorie got a birthday. Happy birthday.
And going to be how old, Miss Marjorie? 51. Already in the 50 club. All right. The thing I don't like hitting 50, and I'm 55 now, but the thing I didn't like about hitting 50 is you know you pass halfway now. You know you are.
You're in the second quarter.
Now. You're in the second half, buddy.
That's right.
Half a century old. Half a century old. Marjorie Breyer, birthday. Amen. Birthdays all around. Amen. Marjorie Breyer, where do you go, Tiff? Any other praises?
Praise the Lord for that cool weather, man.
Oh, man, boy, cool mornings.
It's been nice.
Cool mornings, Chamber of Commerce.
Yeah.
I'm telling you. All right, all right. Let me give you the prayer request, and we'll see if you got anything to add. We're continuing to pray for the Ukrainian people as they seek to drive out the pariah state of Russia and take back their land. We're praying that God would intervene in North Korea. There would be no more missiles shot over the country of Japan. We're praying for Samaritan's Purse, who is there ministering in Ukraine. praying God would give them safety and that they would continue to have teams made up of volunteers or people like Miss Terry. And we continue to pray for Miss Terry as she's on her way home from 8 weeks overseas helping the Ukrainian people with Samaritan's Purse. We continue to pray for Barbara McNew that her appetite would recover. We continue to pray for our shut-ins, those that have unspokens. If you have an unspoken, raise your hand. Amen. Okay. We continue to pray for Ronnie Holman and his cancer battle. We continue to pray for Ronnie Vaculik and his neuropathy in his feet. Continue to pray for Miss Alita, has an eye corrective procedure on the 7th. That's the 7th, right? Yeah, 2 days out. All right, very good. Continue to pray for elections in November. We continue to pray for our country, pray for our president. We pray for the recovery in Florida and Puerto Rico and Cuba from the hurricanes. We continue to pray for rain.
Amen.
Amen. We continue to pray for Justin Heiberger. He's going into the Navy. And we're praying tonight for Miss Bickey to get well soon. What else? Yes, ma'am, Miss Alita?
I have an update. Ronnie Holman.
Ronnie Holman.
He started chemo treatments today.
Okay. All right. Okay, 6 weeks. Chemo treatment, got it. Anything on the computer back there? Jeremiah, no? Okay, very good. Praise God. Amen, Brother John. Pray for Brother John's sunburned legs and feet. Amen, he got too much sun. He's slathering the aloe vera. And if you've ever been sunburned bad, you know what that's like, man. You just keep putting it. It's like your skin just will not quit soaking it up. You just put it on, it soaks it in. You put some more on, it soaks it in. So, be in prayer for him. Amen, Brother James.
Yeah, I'll pray for my mom.
Jeanette.
Yeah, she's been hurting. Her hips are hurting her.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. I think it's the cold weather, you know.
The cold mornings?
Yeah, right, that's what I think it is. But.
All right. Very good. What else? Anybody else? Yeah, Bob. Yeah, John Davlin.
And then Betty texted me earlier around 5, and her granddaughter, Ashley, was having a seizure.
Uh-oh.
Due from her lupus that she's got. So she's staying there until 1.
All right. Penny Honecker's granddaughter. Seizure. Very good, very good. We'll pray for that. Anything else? Yeah, Tiff? She's going to start that rotation in the prison? Yeah. Nursing rotation. Which one is she going, Huntsville? Past Huntsville. Going north? Okay. Starting nursing rotation. Is it a state? I guess a state penitentiary. And is it for men or women? Do you know? Don't know. State penitentiary. All right, we'll pray for that. Anything else? Let's pray. Amen. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight, Lord. We thank you that we have an opportunity to have a concert of prayer tonight. As people are thinking about what may be in their lives that they need to confess to you, Lord, and get their hearts clean before we continue on tonight, Lord. If we've got a short sin account, it's always better than having a long sin account. So, Lord, we pray that we take some time as we get going tonight to maybe confess and just seek your forgiveness and your grace. And then, Lord, when we've caught up with that, we'll be ready to pray with the pastor tonight. But Lord, as we begin tonight, we've got praises for you. We thank you for Miss Bickey, and we thank you for the many years we've had with her, and certainly the many years her family has had with her. We just lift up her birthday celebration as a praise to you and the family that got to come and enjoy that. It's always good to get together with family like that, celebrate a big birthday like that. So, Lord, we're just thankful for that. Thankful for safety everybody had and just a good time. Lord, we lift up Miss Marjorie to you tonight. We're praising you for her birthday on Friday. We pray that be a good day, special day in her class with her family and immediate family, extended family. Lord, just make that a good day, a blessed day for her. We are praising you, Lord, for the change of seasons and the cool weather. And, Lord, I don't mind that the days are getting shorter. It means the nights are getting longer and it gets a little cooler in the morning. So we praise you for that. Time changing and cooler mornings, and Lord, we just lift it up to you. So we think about these prayer requests this evening. Lord, we continue to pray for the Ukrainian people. Father God, thank you for the resolve that you've given them. Thank you for all the military aid that has come into that country to help drive out the pariah state of Russia. Lord, we pray that the Russian troops will be driven all the way back to their borders and out of Ukrainian land and Lord, you would just give that country, all of that country back to the Ukrainians. Help them rebuild, Lord. Help them bury their dead. Help them get back going again as a people. And Lord, we pray that somehow, some way, you would keep Russia from ever doing something like this again. We pray for this situation in North Korea. And Lord, just the unstable dictator that's there. And Lord, we pray you might intervene in that situation. And that the region would experience some peace and would not be so destabilized as these missiles fly so far over different countries and borders and different things. So, Lord, we just pray and you rein that in. Lord, we are praying for this situation between Russia and OPEC, trying to cut oil production, which drives up oil prices, which, Lord, gasoline has started to tick up in the last week even here. And so, Lord, we just pray in that you might intervene in that situation. It seems like when the economy starts to get going, we have a little hiccup here, a little hiccup there. So, Lord, we just pray that you help that situation and help people be able to afford that gas. Lord, we lift up Samaritan's Purse there in Ukraine. We're praying for their protection. We're praying that you would use them mightily to bring salvation to people that are lost. Thank you for Miss Terry, Lord, and the different American volunteers that have gone over there getting ready to come home. Lord, we pray that another team would be ready to go and fill their shoes, fill their boots for the next 6 to 8 weeks. And Lord, we pray that the mission would continue, but we pray you give Miss Terry safety as you bring her back home to these United States. And Lord, we just pray you give her a good rest when she gets here. Help her just get caught back up and get ready to go again. Lord, we continue to pray for Barbara McNew. And Lord, we're praying for her appetite. We're praying for her physical recovery. Praying for her rehab, Lord. We're praying for her willing to work with those that are trying to help her and trying to cook for her. And Lord, we just pray you give her a spirit of reasonableness and a just a spirit of patience there in the Peachtree Nursing Center, Lord. We continue to pray for our shut-ins, Lord. We're thankful for them, thankful for their attendance here tonight with us online. And we pray they'd be encouraged, pray that you would help them, pray that you would feed them with the Word of God. And Lord, just give them exactly what they need this evening. Those that have unspoken, Lord, we're thankful that we can voice those to you now. And we're thankful, Lord, that you hear us and that you're sovereign and that you're in control. And Lord, it's your time and not our time. But Lord, may we continue to have faith in you that you're working behind the scenes when we don't know. Lord, you're making intercession on our behalf and we don't know how to pray. So Lord, we just praise you and thank you that we can bring these unspoken to you again. We lift up Ronnie Holman to you tonight. We're praying for his chemo treatments that he started today for the next 6 weeks as they go. And Lord, we pray they'd have an impact, a great healing impact in removing this cancer from his body. Lord, we just pray that it would work and do what it's designed to do, and Ronnie Holman would heal up. Continue to pray for Ronnie Vakulik, his feet. Lord, we pray that you would ease his pain, ease his discomfort, give him good rest. And Lord, we pray somehow, some way, these nerves would calm down and, Lord, he would be able to do more and go more and just be more active as he desires to be, God. So we just pray you give him that desire of his heart. We lift up Ronnie Vakulik to you tonight. Miss Alita, with her corrective eye procedure coming up on Friday, we pray that that goes as planned and accomplishes the purpose, Lord, that it's been prescribed. And we pray you just bring Miss Alita through that good. And there's no kind of infection or setback or anything, Lord. You just get her through that and get her back going where she's going. We continue to pray for the elections in November. Lord, so much at stake. We pray Christians would come out, would really show up, vote a Christian conscience. And Lord, you might make a huge change in our country as we attempt to send some good Christian folks to the different legislative houses across the state and even in our capital, Lord. We pray for our president. We lift up our country, Lord. We pray you give him wisdom and guidance. And Lord, we pray that the recovery efforts in Florida and in Puerto Rico and even in the country of Cuba, Lord, that you would help the services come back on, the electricity, the running water, that people be able to get the help they need, the food they need, Lord, be able to go back to work, all of that stuff, God. We pray you'd help those different places that we mentioned. We lift up Maddie to you, getting ready to start this nursing rotation at the prison. Lord, we're just praying for her safety. I pray that you just calm her nerves, Lord, that first day, that first shift. Pray that you just lead, guide, and direct her as she goes in there and does what she's got to do for her nursing rotation, Lord. We just lift that up to you. We continue to pray for rain, Lord. Just getting dry again and afraid to see what that drought monitor is going to say tomorrow. But, Lord, we pray that you'd open the sky. You'd give us some showers of blessing. And, Lord, you would just fill up the old ditches again and water the grass and the trees and everything else around here, Lord. We don't want to get back in a drought. So, Lord, we just lift that situation up to you. Justin Heibarger going into the Navy. We continue to pray for him, Lord. We pray you just protect him, help him in basic, help him do everything he needs to do. And then, Lord, as Miss Bicky is home not feeling well, we pray your healing hand upon her, that you touch her, bring healing to her body. We lift up James's mother, Jeanette. We pray for her hips and her body, Lord, and the pain she's experiencing. We pray that you might ease that, remove that, take that away from her, give her rest and peace tonight. Lord, we pray for John Davlin. We're thankful that he's out of the hospital. And, Lord, we just pray you help him and just keep him healed up. And, Lord, just keep him going. And, Lord, we're thankful for John and Marilyn, what they mean to our church. We lift John up to you tonight. And then Penny Honaker's granddaughter, Lord, having the seizure. We pray that that not be anything serious, Lord. We pray that, Father God, you would just see that little girl through. And, Lord, if there's any kind of doctor's visit, medication change, or whatever, Lord, we pray that that would happen and that would bring these seizures under better control. So, Lord, we praise you and thank you that we can lift these things up to you tonight. Thank you that we can be in your word. And, Lord, we pray you open our hearts and our minds to receive it. It's in your name we pray. And everybody said, amen. All right. If you'll take a copy of God's word, we are covering Leviticus chapter 1, verses 1 through 17, but we'll begin reading in Romans again tonight. So Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. I invite you to stand in honor of the reading of the Holy and Inerrant Word of God. Romans 4. And then we'll read just a few verses here. It won't be long. Romans 4, those of you with us online, Romans chapter 4. And we'll begin reading here in verse 19. If you found it, would you say amen? All right, the Word of God reads in Romans 4, beginning in verse 19. God's Word says, without becoming weak in faith, he contemplated his own body. Who is this we're talking about? We're talking about Abraham here. He contemplated his own body, Abraham did. Now, as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, that's being brutally honest, isn't it? Now, as good as dead since he was about 100 years old. And the deadness of Sarah's womb, verse 20, yet with respect to the promise of God, he did not waver in unbelief, but grew strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully assured that what God had promised, he was able also to perform. Amen? All right, thank you all for standing in honor of the reading of the inerrant word of God. You're more than welcome to turn to Leviticus now. If you want to turn to Leviticus chapter 1. Then if you want to put your thumb or your finger into the book of Genesis, we'll be in Genesis here in just a little bit. We're talking about, again tonight, the law of the burnt offering. All right, the law of the burnt offering. Now, what have we done these previous Bible studies leading up to this Bible study? Well, we have made some observations concerning the burnt offerings, and we've made a total of 9 observations. I'll not go back over those. Those are on the YouTube. You're more than welcome to go back and look at those 3 previous Bible studies. But that's what we've done. We've covered 9 observations about the burnt offerings. Last time, okay, this is Wednesday night, so Sunday evening, we began covering the second big idea, and that's burnt offerings and how it relates to ancient Israel. Burnt offerings and how it relates to ancient Israel. What we said when we come to the point of trying to discern the meaning of the burnt offering, or any other offering for that matter, to the Israelites of Moses' day, we tend to forget what? We tend to forget a very important fact. We talked about it as we ended. What is that fact we tend to forget? They understood this sacrifice in the light of what they already knew about it, not in terms of its future fulfillment. We're looking back at it. We know how all the dots are connected. We know how all the T's are crossed. We know what and why and how. All of that's been filled in because the cross has happened. Amen? The fulfillment of the law has happened. Amen? And so now we're looking back at it. And so we get the privilege and the pleasure of knowing that, but don't be so hard on them because they didn't know that. Does that make sense to you? Amen? We have a tendency to often impose our own viewpoint and interpretation on the Israelites of old by interpreting the meaning of an Old Testament text in the light of the coming Christ. They knew God was up to something. They knew God was going to take care of it. They knew there was going to be some kind of great sacrifice off in the future. But it hadn't all been quite fleshed out yet. Make sense? Yes? Right? We must remember, however, that Christ's coming, that Christ's life, that His death, His resurrection, is a past event for us, but it's a future event for the Israelites. It's like if somebody put us on the spot about the second coming. Oh, yeah, well, if we went to the Revelation Bible studies, we could regurgitate some things about it. But it's not like if the second coming had already happened and we're sitting in a glorified body up in Beulah land somewhere and being able to discuss it ad nauseum, amen, go on for thousands of years talking about the second advent because it's a past event. They, like Christians today, had to interpret God's Word in the light of what God had already said and done. Thus, the key to understanding the meaning of the burnt offering for the ancient Israelite was what had already been revealed about it before the regulations of Leviticus. See, Leviticus chapter 1 informed the Israelite how the burnt offering was to be offered, not what the burnt offering exactly meant. Now, we took some time Sunday night and last Wednesday night, and we talked about depravity at length, right? And so we know, discussing that the Israelite kind of got the point, got the fact that this is taking care, this burnt offering is kind of taking care of their what? Not necessarily their sins, but their sinfulness, right? Each and every one of us has a sin nature, right? Yeah, so that's kind of what that burnt offering is taking care of. It deals with total depravity, and that's why we talked about it so much. So as we think about what we're covering tonight, the two major interpretive, that's a tricky word. The two major interpretive keys, I got it that time. The two major interpretive keys to the meaning of the burnt offering are to be found in the burnt offerings of Noah in Genesis chapter 8, if you want to turn there, and of Abraham in Genesis chapter 22, if you want to turn there as well. In Genesis chapter 8, after the flood has destroyed all life on earth except for what was in the ark, right? And after the water has subsided, we find this in Genesis chapter 8. If you'll turn there with me, Genesis 8, verses 20 through 22. Genesis 8, 20 through 22. Let me know when you're there. There. Genesis 8, 20 through 23. Everybody there? Word of God reads, "Then Noah built an altar to the Lord and took of every clean animal and of every clean bird and offered burnt offerings on the altar. The Lord smelled the soothing aroma. And the Lord said to himself, 'I will never again curse the ground on account of man. For the intent of man's heart is evil from his youth. And I will never again destroy every living thing as I have done. While the earth remains, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease.'" So the relationship between this text and that of Leviticus chapter 1, verses 1 through 17, can be seen by several lines of correspondence, or several lines of comparison, or several lines of connection. First, the term burnt offering found in Genesis 8:20 is the same as that of Leviticus chapter 1. Got the burnt offering there. Same Hebrew setup, same Hebrew word, all that. Second, clean animals and birds are offered by Noah in Genesis chapter 8, verse 20. It is Leviticus which defines the difference between what is clean and what is not. Third, the offering is said to be a soothing aroma to God in Genesis chapter 8, verse 21. Which is an expression similar to that found frequently in Leviticus, and more specifically in Leviticus chapter 1, verse 9. Do we see it there? Soothing aroma for the Lord. And then if we look at verse 13, a soothing aroma to the Lord there at the end of that verse. And if we look at 17, it ends the same way, a soothing aroma to the Lord. The sacrifice which Noah offered was the basis for the covenantal promise of God, the covenantal promise of God that he would never again destroy every living thing by a flood again. Genesis 8, 21. Now, we know how the Lord destroys the earth the second time, right? Not by flood, but by fire. That's right. Very good. So, this promise was not due to the fact that all sin had been destroyed from the face of the earth. The fact of man's depravity, as we key on that term again, as will soon be manifested in Noah and his family, it's still present. Man's sinful nature is still present. For God can still say, "The intent of man's heart is evil from his youth," Genesis 8:21. A statement very similar to that of Exodus chapter 32:9, where God told Moses, "I've seen this people, and behold, they're an obstinate people." Now, the basis for God's promise to Noah is not the goodness of man, for man's depravity is specifically stated. Right? This basis for God's covenant promise is the result of the burnt offering offered up by Noah. Thus, the Israelites saw that the burnt offering was a means of avoiding God's wrath and of obtaining God's favor. Now, who here wants to avoid God's wrath? Who here wants to obtain God's favor? Amen? Nobody wants the wrath. And everybody wants the favor. Praise God. They were trying to get along and go along with Almighty God here. And so, a burnt offering is what was required. A burnt offering is what they were going to do. God's blessing was the result of a burnt offering, not of man's good deeds. Now, the second interpretive key is found in the burnt offering of Abraham. In Genesis chapter 22, God summoned Abraham with this command. If you'll take your Bibles and turn to Genesis 22, let me know when you're there. Everybody there? There. Genesis 22, verse 2, the Word of God reads, He said, take now your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I will tell you. Now we know from the account given by Moses that Abraham, as difficult as it was, that Abraham, as much as he struggled with it, Abraham did as God commanded him. We know from the New Testament accounts that Abraham was willing to sacrifice his only son. As much as he loved his only son, he was willing to sacrifice his only son because he believed, Abraham believed down deep in his heart, he believed that God would raise him after he slew him back to life. That's how he justified it in his head. Romans 4, 19 through 21, that we stood and read this evening says, without becoming weak in faith, he contemplated his own body, now as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. Yet with respect to the promise of God, he did not waver in unbelief, but grew strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully assured that what God had promised, he was able also to perform. Hebrews 11, 19 goes on to say, he considered that God is able, talking about Abraham, he considered that God is able to raise people even from the dead, from which he also received him back as a type. Abraham basically considered in his own heart and in his own mind that his son had died and that God had literally given him back to him when he provided the ram in the thicket. Now, in God's grace, he stopped Abraham from literally thrusting that sword or that dagger down into his son's heart and down into his son's life from slaying his son. And he provided that what? That sacrificial what? Ram, right? In whose place? Isaac's place. Genesis 22. You still with me in Genesis 22? Yes? Verse 13. Genesis 22, 13. Then Abraham raised his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a what, church? Burnt offering in the place of his son. Now, in what way did this account of the offering up of Isaac as a burnt offering instruct the Israelites about the meaning of the burnt offering? First, they could have seen that the promise of God's blessing to all the earth, the promise of the Abrahamic covenant per Genesis 12, 1 through 3, involved the death and resurrection of Abraham's offspring. Yeah, that'd be Jesus. Secondly, the Israelites saw that in the burnt offering, the sacrificial animal died in place of the man. Something's got to die in place of the man. Isaac did not die because God provided an animal to take his place. So when the Israelite, there in the tabernacle, or there later in the temple, when the Israelite placed his hand on the head of the sacrificial animal before he slit its throat, he should have known that this animal was dying in his place, just as the ram died in the place of Isaac. He should also have seen that something must take place in the future so that the death of Isaac, which was prevented by the sacrifice of the ram, could be carried out in some greater way. They knew something greater was coming. They knew something greater. And the greater was Jesus. That's right. So the application of this is this. All of this has become clear to the New Testament saint. But it was obscure to the ancient Israelite, who knew that God was at work in some mysterious and as yet unknown way, until the time when this purpose was made known, the Israelite offered up his burnt offering so that God's wrath would be avoided and so that God's blessing could be received. Now, if somebody told us what to do in order to avoid God's wrath and receive God's blessing, we'd probably do it, wouldn't we? Yeah? Yes, yes? Amen. I think we would. That brings me to the burnt offering in the New Testament saint. And we'll not complete all this tonight, but we will certainly introduce it here. The burnt offering in the New Testament saint. Regardless of what the ancient Israelite understood of the symbolism of the burnt offering in terms of its future fulfillment in Christ, Christ was the ultimate fulfillment. He is the anti-type of the burnt offering. When you say anti-type, preacher, what in the world, what are you talking about when you say anti-type? Well, an anti-type in this sense is a noun. It's a person or thing that is foreshadowed or represented by a type or a symbol, right? So a character or an event in the New Testament is prefigured in the Old Testament. So what is the prefigurement? Well, the burnt offering is a prefigurement of Christ. Something has to die for the Israelite to avoid God's wrath and receive God's blessing. And as that thing builds to the New Testament, as that thing builds to the intertestamental period, the Old Testament closes out, Malachi is done, and you've got 400 years of intertestamental period, 400 years before the New Testament begins. As that thing builds, the thing that's coming, the fulfillment of all this thing, starting back here in Genesis 8, starting back here in Genesis 22, all of this being explained and fleshed out for us in Leviticus, all this is building to the person of Jesus Christ. Amen? So, that's why John the Baptist indicated this at the very outset of our Lord's ministry when he greeted Jesus, when John the Baptist greeted Jesus. When he greeted him with the words, you remember the words he greeted him with, right? John chapter 1, verse 29, the next day he, talking about John the Baptist, he saw Jesus coming to him and he said, this is what he said, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And the beauty of that is, friend, Jesus died only once. Only once. Once and for all. Yes, yes. Amen, amen. We'll end it there, my friends, and we'll pick it back up Sunday p.m. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight. We thank you, Lord, for your word, and we thank you that we got a good run at it tonight. And Lord, we've covered these nine observations, and we looked at this burnt offering and how it relates to the Israelite. And Lord, now we're diving off in the and how it relates to the New Testament believer. And so, Lord, I pray that it makes some good application for us and it connects some dots for us and it reaffirms some things to us and helps us, Lord, love you more and helps us worship you deeper and greater and better and all of those things, Lord. And ultimately, I pray that the midst of this study, we give you the glory for it and we glorify your name. And, Lord, we lift you up so that all men might be drawn to you. But Father God, we praise you and we thank you for it tonight. We thank you for your word. Give us safety as we depart this place. Be with the kids next door. We pray for safety over there. Thank you for the workers in the Awana program, Lord. We pray that you just have a hand in that as well. And Lord, it's in your name we pray. And everybody said, amen. All right. You folks are dismissed.